For decades, I have been privileged of leading a Bible study group, street evangelism, pastoring, and making disciples. And I have witnessed the incredible power of Bible study in transforming lives and community, and even in church growth. This journey has shown me that leading a Bible study is more than just a task. It is a vital part of fulfilling the Great Commission. Hey everyone, welcome back to Ministry Guides. Thank you for joining me today. I'll be sharing something that will help every one of you outside there who are called to lead a Bible study group. So if you're a Bible study group leaders are looking to lead your group in an effective and impactful way, you are in the right place. I'll be sharing some key points here. And number one is leading a Bible study is part of Great Commission. You know, Jesus commanded us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, to make disciples of all nations and teaching them to observe all things he has commanded. Leading a Bible study is a direct response to this mandate. It provides a structured environment for believers to grow in their understanding of scriptures and deepening their relationship with God and living out their faith. So, what should be your goal of leading a Bible study? I believe the primary goal of leading a Bible study is to help individuals, to help people discover God for themselves or to know God for themselves. And this involves you helping them to deepen their relationship with God, growing in their biblical knowledge, and also be able to apply such biblical knowledge or principle in their daily lives. How should you prepare for Bible study? I believe preparation is the key. You, as the group leader, must find a time to prepare your notes, the scripture that will be read that day, understanding of the dynamics of the group, understanding the situations and challenges that people are facing. There was a time I had to choose the book of James because it speaks directly to real life issues and challenges that people were going through. And it helped me to know questions that may arise from such verses and how to confidently answer them. So, preparation is a key. You cannot neglect that. You have to prepare. Take some time to prepare. Prepare your notes. Prepare. Think about questions that can be asked. And it will help you. All right. The next one is creating a welcoming environment. Setting the right tones for the group goes a long way. Making sure that everybody feels welcome and included in the conversations, creating a space where people can share their ideas, where people can be vulnerable, where people can discuss things and tell you things that they are going through, is a key point, is one of the vital parts where it will help you to be able to pray and to prepare notes and lessons or things that you might have to go through together. So as a Bible study group leaders, you creating safe environment for people to be vulnerable and share their ideas, it's good. All right. Now the environment has been set. The place is ready. People are there. How should you start? We know that everything has to start with prayer and worship. All right. Starting with prayer. Now, in starting with prayer, don't be quick to appoint somebody to pray, especially if they are new believers. And also, don't be too relaxed at not asking people. You have to study the group, study the dynamics, study the environment. And so if you already have people in the group who are already believers, asking them to pray, asking them to start the prayer, you know, lead the prayer, opening prayer, whatever. It's a good way for them to feel like, yay, I'm part of it. But also, if you are with new believers and people that are shy and stuff like that, you know, expecting them to pray might set a different mood in that place, because people are shy, they might not be able to pray. So you leading in that aspect is good, but also, you know, be aware that if other people can do it, you can delegate a responsibility. So starting with prayer, starting with worship, you know, you don't have to bring a guitar. If you don't know how to sing, that's okay. You can just play worship from your phone. Play worship music from your phone, because worship sets the atmosphere. All right. So play a worship song from your phone. It sets a right atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to just flow in that environment. And that's what you need. And also encourage, you know, every individual, if they have prayer requests or praise report, if they have a testimony, if they have a praise report, encourage them to share it. Encourage them to share their prayer requests so that other people also can pray for them. When leading a Bible study, have this in mind, discipleship. You know, when you are leading a Bible study, whatever dynamic is, whatever age group is, whether it's a youth Bible study or adult Bible study or women's Bible study, whatever it is, have discipleship in mind. You know, every Bible study should have discipleship at its core. It's about shaping lives to reflect Christ, you know, and mentoring and fostering a supportive environment. So discipleship is the key. You are making disciples to make disciples, all right? So you're not just there, you're not facilitating the group only, but you are making disciples, you are mentoring people. So have discipleship in mind. And also, if you're, you know, if you're looking for a method you can use, because there's so method outside there, there is, you know, the topic by topic, book by book, you know, devotional and all kind of method. But I would suggest you start using SOAP. If you have never heard of SOAP before, you can Google it, but I'm going to explain it here. And I'm going to make a video about that later. So it's something you should look forward to. SOAP is one of the methods that have actually been very effective, not just only to me, but to every group that I've led here in Australia. So I know back to where I come from, back from Nigeria, is different, but SOAP has been really amazing. And I will tell you what is the acronyms of SOAP. So it means scripture, observation, application, and prayer. So it starts from scripture. So scripture, you read a passage together. Observation, you discuss the key theme or the insight. What did they get from that? What is the highlight of the scripture? What are the key points, you know? Applications, so they reflect on how it applies to their life. How does that scripture apply to their lives today? What is God saying to them? And prayer, so they pray for understanding and transformation. All right, this example of SOAP. Let's say we use the scripture here from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Okay? Don't forget the acronyms of SOAP, scripture, observation, applications, and prayer. So we're going to read the scripture now. Hear the scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Now, let's go to observation. So, observation is discuss the key points and the context. Note any repeated words. So, in this scripture, we see a focus on not being anxious and trusting God. So the key point is we should not be anxious, we should trust God. What are the key words? So there is anxious, there is prayer, there is petition, there is thanksgiving, presenting your request, there is peace of God, there is something that transcends all understanding, how we got our hearts and our mind in Christ Jesus. Now, these are the questions you can ask your group. What does it mean to be anxious about anything in this context? How does Paul instruct believers to handle anxiety and worry? Why is Thanksgiving an important part of presenting our request to God? What does the peace of God refer to, and how is it described in this passage? How does God's peace guard our heart and mind? These are the questions. These are open questions you can ask everybody. And, you know, it's more like a discussion-based Bible study rather than this traditional way we know about Bible study before, where it look like you go to church and somebody just pray. No, using SOAP is more like a discussion-based Bible study. Allowing people to share their thoughts, allowing people to share their ideas and how they think, help people to understand what the scripture is saying and what God is saying about their life. You know, if you go down to traditional way of doing things, what you're just putting your ideas on people. Most of them are not getting it. It works for some certain generations, but in most generations now, it doesn't work for them. Especially if they are new believers. You want them to understand the scripture for themselves. You want them to be able to read the Bible and understand it for themselves. So when you are asking these kind of questions, you're making them think, okay, what does this mean? What does anxiety mean in this context? You know, what is Paul telling us to do? Why is Paul telling us to give thanks even when we are worried about things, when we are afraid of things? Why is he telling us to give thanks? What is Thanksgiving has to do with this scripture? We are receiving the peace of God. How does God deal with our problem? You know, these are the questions that you can ask when it comes to observation. So you started observing the scripture word by word, keywords, key points, you know, any light or anything that stood out to them in that scripture, anything that they could cut in that scripture. But don't forget, when you are asking questions like that, allow people to be vulnerable, allow people to share their ideas. There is no response that is ridiculous or stupid. You have to be patient enough and be an active listener to what people are saying, because that's what we help them to grow, to understand the scripture for themselves. The next one is applications. Application deal with how this, you know, passage apply to our daily lives. So back in our group, we discussed about how presenting our request to God can bring us peace in our anxiety. All right, these are questions that you can help them to explore. What area of their life, or for example, let me make it personal, what area of my life do I struggle with or worry? How can I apply this passage to those areas? How can I incorporate more prayers and thanksgiving to my daily routines? In what ways have I experienced the peace of God in difficult situations? You know, how can I trust God more with my worries and anxiety? What step can I take this week to actively present my request to God with thanksgiving? Now, these are the things that you can help people to go through when it comes to application. They just ask questions, how can I apply this to my daily life? What area of my life am I struggling with anxiety and worry? Whether it's finances, marriage, and all that. How can I apply that scripture? Bible says that I should not worry about anything. I should present my request to God. How can I present that to God? What does that look like? You know, how can I incorporate more prayers and thanksgiving into my daily routines? Those are the questions that you can ask. In what ways have I experienced the peace of God in difficult situations? So allowing them to think about what has happened in the past, allowing them to think about how God has helped them in the past, it also can help. What step can I take this week to actively present my request to God in thanksgiving? So you are allowing them to think in their daily life, in their daily schedules, in their daily activities, you know, in their busy life, how can they separate the time? How can they pray? Some of them, maybe while they were driving, they will be able to pray. Some of them, it might be while they were cooking. Some of them in the office. Allowing people to think in this way help a lot. Now, you see, you are not the one delegating to them. You are not the one telling them what to do. You are allowing them to make the decision for themselves. And the last one is prayer. So you close with prayer, asking God to help them to apply the lesson and find peace. Now, I'm going to give you an example because you need to encourage them to journal these things down. What they get from the scripture, what they think that God is saying to them, ask them to journal it. And I'm going to give you an example here. So this is a best practice for every individual because it allows them to think and also to know what God is saying about them. Okay, so this is just my example and you can just follow this format. Whichever way God is speaking to them, just encourage them to journal it down. All right. We're talking about Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. And this is how I journal it. This is how I think God is speaking to me. This is what I think God is saying to me in this scripture. And I've journaled it down and I'm going to show you how I'm going to do it now. Okay. So it is the will of God that I live a life free from anxiety, fully trusting in his provision and care, allowing worry and fear to take root in my life would hinder the work of God in me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 instructs me not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, I am to present my request to God. Okay? Just as Jesus cleared the temple of money changers and those who bought and sold, he desired to clear my heart and mind of the worries, doubt, and fear that distract me from him. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, just as the temple is dedicated to worship and sacrifice. My life is to be wholly dedicated to Christ. Bible reminds me in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, that with God, all things are possible. No matter how overwhelmed my worry may seem, God is greater than any challenges I face. Therefore, I am to allow God to drive out the anxious thoughts, the worries of today and tomorrow, so that he can fully take his place in my life. The peace of God, which translates all understanding, is what guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. This peace is not just the absence of anxiety, but the presence of God himself in my life. It brings healing and wholeness to my soul. Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34, that I should not worry about my life, what I will eat or drink, or about my body, what I will wear. It reminds me that my Heavenly Father knows my needs and I am to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, trusting that all things will be given to me as well. Therefore, I will continuously and verbally surrendering every anxious thought to God in prayer as the Holy Spirit prompts me. Instead of worrying, I will give my concerns to God. For example, if I have a thought like, will I ever be able to achieve my goals? I will surrender it to God in prayer by saying, Lord, I thank you for the thought I have about my future. Thank you that you desire good things for me. You are able to meet all my needs, and therefore I choose to trust you in every situation. By doing this, I am given the Holy Spirit access to work in me and fully dwells in his temple, my body. I will no longer allow anxiety to reign. Instead, I will let the peace of God guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now, how beautiful is that? So, if you get what I just did now, I speak to myself. I journal down what God is saying, what this scripture means to me. And this is how God speaks to us. You know, most of the time we'll pray and we don't receive answer, but the answer is already there. When we study the scripture, God is speaking to us. Now, let everyone in the group know that before God speaks to you about someone, he's actually speaking to you first. God speaks to us first before he speaks to others, all right? Most of the stuff in the Bible, most of the scripture we read in the Bible is for us to digest first, all right? Don't just dish it and say, oh, that's for that one. Oh, that's for that one, okay? It's first for you. It's for you to digest. Everything written in the scripture is for you first and then for others. We eat from it first, then we dish it to others, okay? So the last one is prayer. So you pray about giving your thoughts to God and God helping you to overcome all that, and the peace of God will just reign in your heart. And that's it. So you allow them to journal it. Now, let me tell you the secret. That even if you're a pastor or you're a church leader or whatever, or ministry leader, this is one of the best ways to even get message. This is one of the best ways to prepare message, because God is speaking to you directly and you are receiving it. And out of that overflow, you are also giving it to others. So I will encourage every Bible study group leaders to practice this, all right? Practice it first. Whatever materials you're using, make sure that you do soap, you journal it down, you write all the questions possible that could come out or that could arise, because it will give you confidence to be able to answer it. One of the things you need to keep in mind when using soap is facilitating meaningful discussion. Because I believe that's really essential when it comes to Bible study. Asking open-ended questions to spark deeper thinking. You know, in one section I asked, what does this passage mean for our life today? You know, they read something. What does this mean for us? Encouraging deeper thinking and personal application. Encourage it. What are you going to do with this? What do you need to do this week in order to apply this to your life? And also handling difficult questions and discussions with grace. All right, let's talk about allowing others to lead. Allowing others to lead give them a sense of ownership and responsibilities, which I think is good and essential for the growth of each member. And also things that you need to keep in mind is have a structure, whether you like 5 minutes, 10 minutes prayer, 15 minutes prayer, worship, after worship, we're going to read, there's going to be an icebreaker and all that. Have all those structures, but also be very flexible to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes the Holy Spirit may prompt you to change in directions to address specific needs or questions. All right. I want us to also discuss about courage participation. An effective Bible study is interactive. Encourage everyone to share their thoughts and questions, because this creates a dynamic learning environment. So when you are encouraging people, you have to be very sure that you are active listening. You listen to what they are saying. And also you are encouraging participation without pressuring everyone. You know, don't pressure people, because the moment you start pressuring people, they feel this weight on them, and it's not just good for the group also. Okay, so the next one is managing different personalities and opinion respectfully. All right, the next one is handling challenges in Bible study groups. In every Bible study, there will be challenges. You will face different challenges. I once had a Bible study where an individual actually dominated the conversation. And what I did is I gently redirect and encourage others to share. So we maintain a balanced discussion. People will want to say stuff, and in the midst of them trying to say something, they might dominate the conversation. You have to find a way to let them. So addressing conflict or disagreement is very essential. Don't brush it down. Keeping the discussion on track is so important. And also dealing with lack of participation or interest. These are the challenges that you are going to face. So addressing challenges gracefully keeps study on track. Now, what about handling difficult questions? Difficult questions will arise. It's inevitable. So what I want to advise you is to approach them with humility. You know, if you are asked a difficult question, just approach it with humility and a willingness to explore the answers together with everybody right there. And also, it's okay to admit when you don't know anything or something about that question. When you don't have any answer about that, it's okay to admit. And also, you can commit to find the answer together as a group. So don't be ashamed of not knowing an answer. In fact, it's helped your group to see that they have to explore the answer together. All right, let's talk about managing group dynamics. Be aware of group dynamics. Ensure that everyone feels heard and valued. You want to make sure that when you are leading a group, you want them to feel heard You want them to feel valued. So you have to address any issues with grace to foster a balanced and inclusive environment. You don't want somebody to feel like he's very less because he's a new believer, he doesn't know much of the Bible, and other ones are dominating and talking. You just have to make sure you balance all those challenges. The next one we should talk about is consistency and commitment. Consistency builds trust. You, as a Bible study group leader, you must be consistent. Before you venture into it, you need to ask yourself, am I going to be consistent? Am I going to be committed? Set a regular schedule and stick to it. You cannot change time anyhow because people need to trust you with that. Encourage commitment from members also, emphasizing the importance of regular attendance. All right, let's talk about follow-up, all right? You want to stay connected with your group. You want to keep them accountable. You want to know what is going on in their life. Don't forget, Bible study is about helping somebody to have connection with God, to build a relationship with God, to discover God himself. And also, it's part of where you mentor people also. So you want to keep track of them. You want to know what's going on in their daily life. So in order for you to do that, there are so many apps you can use. You can create a WhatsApp group, a Facebook group. Also, you can create a group on YouVersion Bible app. I will tell you how to do that later in another video. It's so simple to do. Maybe you can check the description below. If I put any link there, you'll be able to know when I post the video. But you can use a YouVersion Bible app even for your online Bible study, for those of you who are into online Bible study. Because I believe this allows your member to stay connected with each other and share insight and encourage one another throughout the week. This is so essential. It's something that you have to do. If you have a physical location, you still need to create a group, especially in our digital age where platforms like WhatsApp and Facebook, it's something that everybody use. I think you should take advantage of that. Just create one and tell everybody to join. Personal growth as a leader. You know, continual learning is vital when it comes to leading other people. As they say that leaders are learners and learners are leaders. So attending a leadership workshop can significantly improve your skill, leading to more effective and engaging, you know, studies. So the more you learn, the more you gain insight, and the more you'll be able to empower people. So make sure that you join our 3 days challenge for Bible study leader. And the description is below. Your personal spiritual growth, your personal, you know, study growth, and getting more skills and more knowledge on how to manage people and how to lead people to Christ and all that. You doing your own quiet time, your own personal Bible study using SOAP method is so important. And also seeking feedback from people from your group. What do you think about the way I lead this group? What can I do better? And be very open to learning and adapting to your leadership style, okay? Be very open to learning and adapting to your leadership style. And the last one I want to talk about is the benefit of leading a Bible study group. Now, you need to hear this because there is benefit for everything. As much as there is reward for that in heaven, as much as Jesus promised us a reward, there is benefit. And the benefit is not just about you guiding others. It's about you also experiencing personal growth yourself. You know, as you prepare and facilitate discussions and interactions, you are also deepening your relationship with God. You are also learning new things. You are also doing new stuff. And that's one of the most beautiful stuff about leading a Bible study, because you learn for yourself. Leading a Bible study is a rewarding experience. I remember one of our members who shared how our Bible study profoundly impacted their life and their faith journey. Such testimonies are a testament to the power of God's word. I want to encourage you to check out different resources online. There are so many of them online. Bible Project videos for great insight and visuals. There are so many resources online that you can use. And also, I want you to check the link below. There are so many downloadable materials that you can use, you know, checklists, Bible study plan, and all that you can use for your group. And also, I want to encourage you to keep learning. If you find this video helpful, please give it a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe to Ministry Guides YouTube channel. And also you can subscribe to all our podcast channel so that you can get more notification when we release new content to help you to grow your ministry and to lead effectively. So thank you for joining me. I will see you in the next episode. God bless you. Bye.